But when you're building community in your classroom, when you're being really intentional about how you're going to get your students to engage in inquiry and an inquiry cycle and do all sorts of different things and not just be consumers, but also be participants in their own learning, that's where the magic can happen.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mention something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Intel Skills for Innovation, who are reimagining education with technology at its core. For educators and administrators looking to inspire and empower, Intel SFI offers cutting-edge and free resources to revolutionize learning experiences and prepare students for the fourth industrial revolution. They offer a suite of resources tailored to build future-ready skills and prepare students for a rapidly evolving world, including their specially curated starter packs and comprehensive professional development programs. Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com today to learn more. That's skillsforinnovation.intel.com. This week's episode is titled Teaching Civics in a Digital World, and I chat with ISTE authors and educators Carolee Wong Nakatsuka and Laurel Aguilar Kirchhoff. Often, the concept of civics feels like it only belongs in a social studies classroom, but in today's conversation, Laurel and Carolee share lots of strategies for educators in different subject areas, including the importance of building community and helping students see themselves as a citizen of their classroom. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you both on today to talk about teaching civics in a digital world. But before we dive into all of those pieces, would love for listeners to hear a bit about your backgrounds, your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Sure. My name is Carolee Wong Nakatsuka, and I teach U.S. history for over 30 years. I used to say I started when I was 10. Now I'm saying 5. I teach 8th grade U.S. history, and I am in Southern California, and I'm excited to be here.
And my name is Laurel Aguilar Kirchhoff, and I also taught U.S. history and science at the middle school level for 20 years. Then I left and I went into administration for a few years, and now I teach at the university level. I teach in the Teacher Education and Foundation program, and I'm loving it. And I also write curriculum for a national company. So history curriculum. So that's been a lot of fun. So it's been a journey.
Well, I'm excited to have both of your perspectives on to talk about a topic that I think impacts every educator, right? Whether they have social studies in their title or in their front of their mind every day, right? Civics education is so important, and that education technology connection is what listeners often come to the podcast looking for, tips and strategies and just some context of what's happening, right, in different parts of the world and within different subject areas. And today we're talking about teaching civics in a digital world. Before we dive into the digital connection, can you share with listeners, what does the term civics encompass?
It's a broad topic, right? It's a broad statement. It's kind of ubiquitous. People use it all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because, so I also teach digital citizenship in action for ISTEU. And I'm sure, Monica, you could share that link if people want to check the course. But we have a whole module talking about citizenship and civics outside of just the digital realm and really getting people to define what this means for them. But for our book, Carolee has a dear friend and she could tell this story. But we actually went to the source. We are both iCivics EdNet members. And we asked our colleagues, we're like, what do you think civics means? And we came up with a really, I think, a really good definition. So I'm going to let Carolee tell that part of the story.
So iCivics is Sandra Day O'Connor's organization that she started that provides gamification and civic resources for teachers to teach. And if you talk to a K-12 teacher and their students, they might throughout some games, like, do I have a right in other games that just makes history come to lives, makes civics become tangible. But we were asked to write this book. We're like, civics? So I thought we're going to write about history coming to life. And we talked, we had conversations, and we know that civics is a loaded word. There are a lot of people who are uncomfortable. If you bring up the word civic, a lot of people are uncomfortable. And I think it's because we overly think the meaning of the word. And so we asked our friend, you know, what does it mean to be a citizen? And she likes to quote Peter Levine, who says, you are a citizen of a group. If you seriously ask, what should we do? And we're like, we really like that definition because it makes civics accessible. It's not something scary. It's not a test that we have to study for and take, but it's part about being a human, part about being community, part about being a group. And so that really resonated with us. It made us excited to write this book.
I love that community connection. Yeah, go ahead, Laurel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. And just to let you know who our friend was that said that, it's Emma Humphreys, who's the chief educational officer for iCivics, too. Who we just thought, number one, she's brilliant. But just to have such the heart of what civics is, we're asking, what can we do? How can we participate? What does this look like for us? And it doesn't have to be this pie in the sky, huge definition where everyone's like, oh, I can't do that. I don't count, I don't matter. Well, yeah, you do, because you give something. So we love that.
Really, we love that. And it's not that we give up the political definition of civics. Of course we do. We talk about what it means to be a citizen, but we like to also talk about the broad sense. And so to talk about citizenship, I start in my class building community from the beginning, from day one. And so helping students, like, this is your opportunity that you're citizens of in all different spaces, but let's practice being a citizen in this classroom. Let's practice talking to people we don't usually talk to. Let's practice using our voice and asking questions so that you become comfortable in this classroom and practice in the big school. Maybe you can run for an office. Maybe you could just participate in a club. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to the high school and everything amps up in high school. And you're going to be a part of a larger community. And now if you practice in this little classroom and in this little school, then hopefully you can practice, continue in high school as you raise your profile, as you use your voice and, you know, and maybe beyond to the, you know, your country, to your world, who knows where it will bring you. You don't have to run for president of the United States. We need good citizens in all spaces.
And just that idea of anchoring this conversation in classroom community, in something that feels super accessible for students. Right? I love that transferability, right? Like, you can transfer this into all these different spaces where you can take action, where you can participate, where these skills will be useful, even if you're applying them in different contexts. And so, you know, as we think about the role technology plays, right? How does it help bring history to bring civics to life?
First, let me just give a little disclaimer. We're not sponsored by any ed tech company or anything like that. So when we give recommendations, really, it's just our own personal opinions. So we like to tell people that because often we get that question like, oh, are they your sponsor? And we're like, no, we've used this. And I mean, don't get us wrong. If there's a big ed tech company out there that wants to sponsor, it's like, okay, well, just love to chat. But no, these are just the things that our biggest avenue. And I work on the other side now, working with teachers to help teach them how to build community, especially our newer teachers or teachers that are newer to the field. But the idea of, we have so many opportunities now, and we have the world has been opened up in ways that we never, ever could have imagined. And it's not just through, you know, the hot topic that everyone's talking about, you know, okay, I'll say it, AI. But the idea of just being able to allow our students to go on virtual field trips, allowing our students mm-hmm. to look at museum pieces from around the world. We love getting our students, it doesn't really matter what the EdTech platform is, but getting our students to see the world outside of the four walls of our classroom, getting them to see themselves in history, getting them to see others in history. And really, a big part of our book is historical empathy and using educational technology to help instill historical empathy into our students by allowing them to have these experiences outside of a textbook. Now, obviously, we have to be very careful because the internet is the wild, wild west and educational technology is not all equal. We know it has to, you know, whatever we're using it for has to have a purpose and a meaning behind it that's going to be pedagogically sound and also appropriate for our students cognitively, social, emotionally, like the whole gamut. So it becomes this bigger question of being really intentional in what we choose. And I mean, don't get me wrong, we could start giving you a list of text to use, but really some of them are just like, at this point, like oldies but goodies. Mm-hmm. Like, your students talking about history, using Flip, having them have discussions, getting their opinions, that student voice, and not just that they're consuming the content, but they're also creating. So we love anything that has to do with getting our students to discuss. I don't know, Carolee, do you want to talk about some of your faves?
Yeah, and also the thing sometimes, especially history teachers. We love history teachers. I've been a history teacher. We've both been history teachers a long time. But
we love history teachers.
Mm-hmm. Our book is kind of in a unique place because we straddle the history and the EdTech world. And oftentimes, the history and EdTech world aren't buddies. There's a little fear and trepidation.
Yeah.
They're acquaintances. And they're acquaintances that have great potential. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be able to take EdTech and to make history come alive. Our classrooms are so much different than it was when we first started teaching. I mean, I would show my kids, you know, flat, you know, just normal pictures of me, you know, going to Ellis Island or going to these places, which is pretty incredible because you don't really have a sense of a place to actually go there. Mm-hmm. And being on the West Coast, there's so many places that it's not really feasible for us to go there. But I remember the first time when I went to Ellis Island, like, whoa, now I kind of understand the place, how I've read about the place. And then I picked up a 360 viewer and I took my students there and 360 and like, whoa, you're like, you know, trying to touch this, you know, the walls or whatever and understanding it even more. And so I love virtual field trips. During the pandemic, it was something that really helped to make the world accessible for my students. So I take them to Monticello. They can walk in the halls of Monticello and get to know Thomas Jefferson. First, they can walk through the halls of Monticello and get to know this, our third president. But then they also talk about, they don't hide anything about him enslaving, you know, all these people, including his relatives, but also writing the Declaration of Independence. So we talk about those controversies and, you know, eighth graders love controversies. And they are so capable of thinking and being critical thinkers. We can provide them the evidence. We can provide them the past and let them make these informed decisions about them. So they, you know, look at this great man who did these great things, but, you know, was he a hypocrite? Was he a hero? Was he both? We can ask those questions. When we do talk about Abraham Lincoln, there's a virtual field trip with Ford's Theater called Investigation Detective McDevitt. And the kids walk through the streets of DC and investigate Lincoln's assassination. And the Detective McDevitt is a voice actor. So he's just amazing. And ever since I attended Ford's Theater, I've been finding grants to pay for it, to bring my students there so they can experience that, just bringing history alive with this actor, bringing, you know, primary source documents, voicing them in a tangible, exciting way, engaging way for them to understand. I take my students to Angel Island, and that is where immigrants on the West Coast off of San Francisco, where Chinese immigrants and more came through to trying to get into America, which is a very different experience than Ellis Island. And so my students just love beaming in, like they're still, even though like we live in this age of technology, it's like, are we really there? You know, are we in Virginia? And then are we in San Francisco? Is he there live? You know, and then Ranger John will like get into the bunk bed where the immigrant torture is. Like, whoa,
yeah. All these categories of content you shared are so accessible now, right? I've done some of those. I think at one point it was Skype in the classroom, right? With a park ranger, right? Was walking us around a space with a group of fifth graders I was working with. But those interactive panoramas are super accessible, right? Getting primary source documents. I mean, just the ease of finding something that's going to connect to what you're teaching, right? Has changed so much. And so those are all things that I think are important to, you know, and I love that you mentioned a flip as well, you know, Laurel, right? Like for reflections, right? There's a lot of great tools out there, but even just these categories, right, that you're talking about to go to really help bring the past to life for students. There's a lot out there. And, you know, if someone is listening who is not in a social studies classroom, but wants to bring a historical connection, wants to bring civics, right, into the subject area that they're teaching, is there a recommendation that you have for someone who is motivated for those cross-curricular connections?
You know, that's a great question, because one of the things that we talk about, and as someone who taught multiple subjects, mm-hmm. so I have a science credential and a history credential. So in California, like it's for secondary, it's compartmentalized. I know it's not like that in every state. But so for me, the heart of it is inquiry. And thinking about what are you doing already with inquiry? But it comes back to what Carolee mentioned at the beginning, is looking at your own classroom. And this is something I talk to my teacher candidates about all the time. How can we build our communities in our classroom? Where can we start? Where can we go with ourselves? So if someone is teaching science, or someone is teaching math, or someone is teaching whatever, right? It doesn't really matter the subject area. But when you're building community in your classroom, when you're being really intentional about how you're going to get your students to engage in inquiry, in an inquiry cycle, and do all sorts of different things, and not just be consumers, but also be participants in their own learning, that's where the magic can happen. And there's not necessarily one tool that I would say, hey, this is your go-to spot. But kind of circling back to what we already talked about, if they wanted to do something or provide an opportunity, I would say go back to iCivics, mm-hmm. because my students, even though we didn't really, I used it as a teaching tool, a supplement. It wasn't my whole curriculum, but they do have a fabulous curriculum. And by the way, they also have for younger students as well. This is not just secondary. Mm-hmm. They've really expanded their lesson, and they have some really great primary lessons that can start with even our youngest of students. But my students became so engaged in playing these games that when they would finish their assignments, it doesn't matter if it was science, it doesn't matter if it was history. Mm-hmm. They were like, can I go on iCivics? Can I play Do I Have a Right? Can I? And I was like, absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
Of course you can. Because they were engaging in some meaningful material that really was a lot of critical thinking, but it was fun. Yeah. And my standpoint was the more touch points they had with that material, the more they were able to access it, the more they're not just sitting there bored or scrolling on their phone or doing whatever it is they're doing. They could be engaged in doing something. And so it really doesn't matter the classroom. You can like, hey, you're done. Here you go. Let's do this.
And that kind of organic connection to what's already happening, right? We're already thinking critically about this topic. We're already collaborating with a classmate to accomplish a particular goal. I see so many connections there across different subject areas. And before I ask you about your book from ISTE and your Jumpstart Guide, I love the Jumpstart Guides from ISTE. I can't help but ask about the AI of it all, because not only for civics education, but for all the things that we're doing in teaching and learning, it's been at the forefront of conversations. And my mother's a retired social studies teacher. And, you know, when ChatGPT first came on the scene, I was talking to her and we were writing, you know, silly riddles and jokes about the French Revolution, right? Things that she was teaching just to like get a feel for what was possible, right? And of course, you can go so much deeper than that. But with AI being on so many educators' minds in 2023, you know, here we are in 2024. What are you expecting to see or hoping to see as it relates to civic education?
AI is the big elephant in the room, right? And I'm going to be keynoting at a AI conference coming up called SequoiaCon. And we're really excited about it. It's all about AI and education and not just how to use it, but a lot of the questions that you're bringing up. One thing that we probably should have said earlier, and we usually, in all of our presentations, we like to do this caution. Doesn't matter the educational technology, whether it's AI or it's whatever you're using, please ask before you app. That's our tagline, because there are very big concerns, and this is not just related to AI, but about student data privacy, about all of our federal and state laws. It doesn't really matter the state. Every state has them, about protecting our students' data, protecting our own data, protecting our students in lots of different ways. So we always like to say, like, ask before you app. Mm-hmm. With AI, there's so many possibilities on how we can use generative AI to give us ideas about lesson planning, mm-hmm. about different ways to approach topics. But I just do caution teachers to not go rogue, to work within the parameters of what their districts are really, their district or their state, wherever they're at, are recommending at this time, because we do have, it is such a new and emerging technology that I would hate to say, yeah, just jump in and try it and swim around. Absolutely, on your own time, on your own device, but being really cognizant of what we're doing with our students. And I don't want to get into the whole ethics piece of it too, but I do think it's important to have these conversations with our students. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of ethics. Talking about the ethics, talking about this new technology, talking about how this is going to impact our society. There's a beautiful book from ISTE that Dr. Kristen Mattson wrote called Digital Ethics.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend every teacher to get a copy of that, every educator, every admin, get a hold of that and really take a deep dive into looking at how do we want to create our own identity of ethics and baselines before we even present it to our students. Because I think that we have to have a handle on it before we bring it in. With that said, I love it. Generative AI is awesome. I love playing around with it. I get great ideas. I think it's a great thought partner at a good starting place. But I also think we have to recognize the bias, the algorithms. I could go down this rabbit hole.
No, I love it. And I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, because I do think it is so much of the, right? We can hold on to all of these things at the same time, right? It's not a one or the other, right? Especially as this technology evolves. And I can imagine with both of your, you know, social studies and civics hats on too, right? You're looking at this through many different lenses of the impact and where we're headed. And, you know, as we, you know, finish up here together, I know this is a conversation that will continue right? Beyond our short time together. But for anyone who wants to jump in, right? Jumpstart guide, pun there for you all, right? Or grab a copy of your book. Can you tell us more about both of them? What will readers find in these resources?
So our book is titled exactly what it's about. Mm-hmm. And thank you, ISTE, for the very descriptive title. But it's Bring History and Civics to Life's Lessons and Strategies to Cultivate Informed, Empathetic Citizens. So that's exactly what you get from this. We talk about history, why history matters. We talk about community, why community matters and how to build community. We talk about civics, why civics matters. EdTech, we generated, like, I think over 100 links in there. So it's packed full of resources for people. It's a really great resource. And we talk about it. We have lessons. We have lessons from award-winning teachers who are our friends, who contributed lessons there too. And our companion website expands upon those. So it's a really nice, it's a little thin book, but it's like a really nice starter guide for people, or it's for any level. Or if you're an advanced teacher, then you're going to take a deeper dive. You're going to understand, you know, some things will resonate with you in a different way because you're a more seasoned veteran. There's something for everyone. And one thing we shout out in there, we have a hashtag, try one new thing challenge. It's like, don't be overwhelmed. Sometimes we can all be overwhelmed. I always say, like, right. I wasn't a digital native. People like look at me and just assume I was born with an iPhone. Which does seem like it. I do love my phone, but We just had to try one new thing. And I talk about trying one new thing. Like I didn't know what embed mean. I didn't know what this lead, all these things. I didn't know what it meant. Hyperlink. I didn't know all this stuff, but okay, I'm going to try one new thing. So of course I try one of the more challenging things. I tried Bing Link, which has the iterations have become much more user-friendly, but I tried, I think, okay, I'm going to try one thing and I'm going to get good at it. And then after I did it and got comfortable and just seeing my students teach each other how to use it was like amazing. Then I was like hooked and like, I'm going to keep on going on. And so we encourage our leaders, just try one new thing. Our leaders, just try one new thing. You don't need to do it all. Try one new thing and it can make a difference in your classroom. And then maybe go on from there. And also teaching our students. I was a mini keynote for Laurel's conference last year. And then my slide went up and like, oh, my quote's missing. It was a really good quote. And then my like brain was blank. Like, I love this quote, but because it was gone, I couldn't remember what it was. Like, just like think of how the kids have panic, right?
Right.
I'm like, oh, it was a really good quote. You can look it up yourself. And later on, I posted it on social media so people can find it. And some people like I feel pretty good. I liked what I was talking about, but what really resonated with some of them was me failing for it. Me exactly. Being like, hey, well, we just got to keep on going. And that's what we need to do for our students and for our friends and our teachers. We have to give up perfectionism and then we can move forward. And so that's what our book encourages to. And we said, we're here along with you. We're supporting you and all of this. We're very accessible on social media and other places.
The book, the beginning of the book, the first part is the why. And the second part is the how. So we wanted to be really intentional in setting up so we could give all of the different pieces. And then in the Jumpstart guide, it's just like a little snapshot of the different areas. Carolee is like the QR queen. And so there are tons of QR codes in there. Like she said, there's a lot of links, but we encourage people to do a lot of self-reflection and see where they're at as they go along and just try one new thing. And then I can announce, it's official, there I have another Jumpstart guide coming out for ISTE, and it is Student Data Privacy Made Easy. So it's, and we do talk about some of the things that you brought up. We talk about emerging technologies with AI, with esports, with AR, VR, then also just kind of the overarching pieces. So then when we are having new technologies that come out, we can take a look at it so we can be really intentional on how we implement it in our classroom. So it's a companion to a companion to a companion in our book.
I love that. And like I said, I love the ISTE resources. I love the Jumpstart guide that I will make sure to link out to all of that for listeners. I'll link out to your website, Bring History to Life, so people can find that in the show notes and find all of the ways to connect with you both on social media. So thank you for your time today and for sharing all of these great ideas with listeners.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been
so much. Lots of fun.
So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from today's episode. Building a classroom community is essential. Help students see themselves as citizens of their classroom. Look for digital tools that help students explore the world. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode, including all the ways to connect with our guests, by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 252. A big thank you to today's sponsor, Intel Skills for Innovation. Ready to transform the educational experience with Intel Skills for Innovation? Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com today to step into a world of possibilities. Sign up now using the free code MONICA to unlock exclusive access to their comprehensive resources. You'll get access to over 70 lesson packages and more than 120 hours of professional development. Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com and use the code MONICA for free access to a wealth of resources. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too, and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.